Well, it is a great privilege of mine to be here with you this afternoon, and I trust that the message that shall be delivered will be a blessing. I must say that I am not a lecturer, even though this is called to be a lecture, so it will be a mixture of lecturing and preaching and whatever else that you might call it. The subject that is given to me for this assembly is the authorized version, its relevance in a multicultural society. Before we continue with that, I just remember that I did not thank the church, the officers of the church, for allowing us to have this meeting, and also for your words of welcome. I very much appreciate it. Our subject is the authorized version, its relevance in a multicultural society. We must make sure that we see clearly what we mean when we talk about relevance of something, especially the Word of God, and make sure that we are not giving a wrong impression to people. We must realize that the Bible is relevant in itself, since it is the eternal, the only word of the eternal God. Since it is the revealed mind of God about Himself, about His will, about our relationship to Him and with Him, it is relevant in itself. The Bible is relevant because of what it is. People do not make the Bible relevant. We do not allow or make it to be relevant. It is inherent. The relevance is inherent within the Word of God. The impact of the Bible, both it is in its translation in English or in other languages, has turned individuals, it has turned families, it has turned nations and cultures from ungodliness and heathenism to be Christians. The Bible has formed cultures and destroyed cultures. The Bible has changed barbaric, idolatrous, superstitious cultures into an orderly, industrious, prosperous, and God-glorifying nation. We have seen it throughout history, both inspired history, as we have read this afternoon, about the children of Israel within the midst of various cultures and various societies and beliefs, what the Lord promised them, and that follows through. A nation will be exalted who upholds the Word of God. And we see that in the uninspired history. Especially when we look at Europe, we see the times of Reformation. We see how the Lord blessed nations that held up the Word of God in whatever faithful translation it was. They held it up. They aimed to obey it as far as they could by God's grace. The Lord also blessed those people. And even though in the eyes of men, for many of godly men and women and children who were killed and martyred throughout history, yet they speak to us today. The Lord has not left them without a voice. The Lord upholds His truth and upholds the people who hold to it. The Bible, it has changed lives, and it continues to change people's lives, and it changes people's destinies. You and I's destiny is based upon the fact how we receive the Word of God. It has brought about various God-blessed movements in the world. This very Bible, a single text, transformed Luther with all of his background, with all of his baggage. Imagine that. We think about Luther, and we think of him as a reformer, but what about all the things, all his mindset, all his belief? And yet a single text transformed him. It launched the great movement that has turned and changed the world, the known world. The Bible has come, and it comes to us today. And it shall continue. The message of the Word of God shall continue forevermore. It will continue to come with power, regenerative power, to the souls of men and women and children until Christ comes. And as the Holy Spirit blesses His Word, it will change lives. May it be our prayer that every time we hear the Word of God, we might be more warm towards Christ. Our love to be more open and increased towards Christ than become hardened to the things of God. As the apostle says, the word is like a two-edged sword, but it will either harden you or it will soften you. Pray that God would soften your hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is the Bible relevant for today? Of course it is. Of course it is relevant. Because it is the voice, the word of the Almighty God to His creatures. The word of the Creator to the creatures. But our subject for today is about the relevance of our English Bible known as the Authorized King James Version. Its relevance in a multicultural society. I ask you this, what does it mean to be relevant? What does it mean to be relevant? Have you ever looked it up in a dictionary? To prepare this message, I had to take out my dictionary. It is a good tool to use. To look up words. What do they mean? What are we trying to say to people? So what am I trying to say to you? What am I trying to convince you of? What does it mean to be relevant? It means to have significant and demonstrable bearing on the matter at hand. To make connection. To be applicable. To be fitting. To relate in the right way. And as God's people, that's our desire, isn't it? We want to be relevant. We want to connect with people. We want the words that we say to them have a bearing upon their souls. As the churches of Christ, we aim to make contact and connect with the world around us, whoever they may be, whatever their background may be. We aim to show the relevance of the Word of God. But does this 400-year-old book, this 400-year-old English translation, do that in our increasingly multicultural society? Is it suitable? Is it suitable to be used among the various people groups who are from near or from far and from all kinds of cultures? Our conviction and conclusion must be based upon the facts of history and the response of the people from other cultures to the Authorized Version of the Bible. And our answer, I must say, is affirmative. We say yes. And many from other cultures who receive it, they say yes, this Authorized Version in the English Bible, it is the only English Bible for a multicultural society. The multiplication of the modern language English Bibles is one of the most important religious phenomena of recent decades. It is our view that the production of these new translations has served to undermine the spiritual foundation and to weaken the message of the churches of Christ to the society around, to the multicultural society around. There are, if you go on the internet, for example, and just look at the websites of other faiths, and especially the Muslims, and you see how what they would say about the Word of God, the Bible. You see, one of the great tools that they use, the great ammunition that they use against the gospel, is the fact, look at the Christians. Look, they do not even have one English Bible. They do not have a standard text of their Word of God. And they point to the modern versions. And that has it is a great stumbling block for many of them to hear the gospel itself. The new versions, I believe, have not brought about the promised spiritual effect on the masses. Nowhere as near as the effect which this old English Bible has. So we must ask. Maybe the subject should be changed. Maybe we should ask this question. Are the new English versions proved to be relevant among a multicultural society, among a people from other lands? Have they impacted, have they connected and affected the English-speaking world the way that this old book has done? The answer is no. The abandonment of this standard English Bible, the authorized version, has not been a good thing. They have not helped the cause of Christ in the church among other cultures. There are various reasons for that, and there's so many reasons I could bring about, but we do not have the time this afternoon. But I want to highlight for you various reasons why the authorized version is relevant in a multicultural society. One thing is this, that the authorized version is relevant in a multicultural society because it has been the standard English Bible of the English-speaking world. That's why. One of the main things. Why is it relevant? Because this is the Bible that the world has known to be the standard text of the English translation of the Word of God. And this makes it to be a relevant Bible in a multicultural society. When the church says we have one Bible, when the preachers are preaching from that Bible, when our children are memorizing from that one Bible, we have one standard text. We are quoting from the same text. Nothing in it is different. The people of other cultures for now many, many years have seen this Bible to be the English Bible. When they talk about the English Bible, they mean the authorized version. Let me speak to you a little about the case of history. Historically, this was the Bible that that was taken and used throughout the Commonwealth and throughout the English-speaking world, throughout the United States of America. Any culture which has English as its first or second language was affected by this book, was affected by the missionaries who took the Word of God, the missionary movement of the 18th century, and beyond, the Bible that was used by these missionaries, like Henry Martin, who went to Persia, like William Carey, who went to India. What was the English Bible they used? It was the authorized version. How did they do their translation into those languages of those cultures and nations? It was based upon the same methods and principles and also the same underlying Greek and the Hebrew text of the authorized version. They knew that this Bible has been used by God within Europe and within England and America. And we want the same thing in other nations too. Their language and form of expression and the grammar has been also affected by the Bible. There are various languages in the world that they have started using certain phrases since the time of the missionaries. And how did those expressions came about? It was as the missionaries were preaching the gospel, as these people were reading from the English Bible, their vocabulary was also changing. Many had and continue to learn English, to read and to write in English, beginning with a copy of the authorized version. There are many cultures which have for hundreds of years been affected with the language of this Bible in one way or other. The only English Bible that was known in the Commonwealth was this book. It was the English Bible that was used in Africa. It was only this Bible that was used in India, in the Far East, in the West Indies. Even, I said to you earlier, about the United States of America, the authorized version became the Bible that molded and formed that society's history and foundation laws. That is why it is still the Bible that is mainly used within those cultures, within the majority of these English-speaking cultures to this day. It is this book that is loved and cherished and that is quoted and read. It is the Bible they know and love. And from its arrival, it was from this English Bible that they heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The historical success that this English Bible has had upon other cultures is astounding. And it is one of the reasons why it is relevant to be used in a multicultural society. Because many people coming into our society, all they have known has been this Bible. I want to also speak to you not only about the history, but also I want to bring you the case of the current usage of it and the current demand of this Bible. That the authorized version is the relevant Bible in a multicultural society, we say it is because those from English-speaking cultures still are using it and demand it. They do not have problems with it, but they want it. Still, the majority of these people from the English-speaking cultures, they use this book. Other English Bibles have come, but you go to Africa and you ask them, what Bible are you using? What Bible have you been used to? What is it? Are you using the Revised Standard Bible? Are you using the American Standard Version? New American Standard Version? You ask somebody in India or in other cultures, in Africa, you ask them, majority of them would say, yes, somebody came here with one Bible that wasn't like our Bible. But we don't know, and we haven't heard of that Bible again since that time. New English Bibles come and go. That's why, my friends, we have not had a celebration of the Revised English Bible that came in 1881. There was no anniversary service of the American Standard Version, which came in 1901. There was none of that. Nobody celebrated it. They came and they are gone now. We don't quote it. You don't read of them in books. But this book is quoted. This book is still used. And when these people from Africa, India, or other places come and join our societies, which is the Bible that is in their hand? I have seen various people from various nations. I may not always understand their accent, as I do not always understand some of the English accents spoken throughout this country.
However, I check their Bible and I see it's been well used. And I can't work out what kind of Bible it is. I can't read authorized version at the back of it. So I take it, I open it up, and it is this book again and again. This is the book that I see in people who are coming from other lands. I'm talking here generally speaking. The Trinitarian Bible Society, they receive many hundreds and thousands of letters from all over the world asking for the authorized version. A quick browse of a sample of these letters would give you a flavor of what is demanded by people. So if people are demanding it, of course, it is the only thing to show us that this is the relevant Bible for them. They're wanting it. Let me just quote you some of these letters that Dr. Allen passed on to me. A man from a prison in central Zambia, he writes these words. Our church in prison. In prison walls has a long-standing need for Bibles. KJV Bibles, King James Version Bibles, have become a very great difficulty to find. We pray for your further help to send us 100 KJV Bibles to give to our church members who have no Bibles and the other inmates we are in contact with. That was from Zambia. Someone else from West Africa has written. I find that request for the authorized version is increasingly great, and it's a joy to see that in remote parts of Africa, if natives can discern the differences in the translations, they request especially the authorized version. That's a missionary who has written, I believe. In all their primitive culture, they seem to understand better the Word of God than many of our learned teachers. From Darjeeling in India, a pastor has written, only this morning one sister came to me begging for the authorized version of the Bible, as only perverse versions of the Bible are available in the markets. In our church, to our people, we recommend only the authorized version. From Libya, a man has written, and I find this very interesting. He says, I am from Sierra Leone, but I became born again in Libya. And it is very difficult for me to get a Bible because Libya is an Arab country. Please, I sank down on my knees, he says, to supplication that you should have mercy on me and send me a Bible so that I can study the Word of God every day. Please send me one KJV. And then he says, why? He gives the answer for it. Because most of the church members are using the above. That's amazing, isn't it? In Libya, people are using the authorized version. Someone from the Czech Republic has written, one of my friends has shown me the Holy Bible, the authorized King James Version, where your address was printed. Since then, I was sick for the Bible in English language long time ago. I decided to ask you a favor. I would appreciate it if you could send me one copy of the Bible. And so on. I have other quotations from various letters to read to you, but the time is very limited. But you get the flavor. From various continents of the world. This is what is being requested. In general, of course, there are other people who have been affected by other new versions, but we are talking the majority. In the main, what are people asking for? What are people using? What have they been used to? It's the authorized version of the Bible. So we are asking, is this Bible relevant in a multicultural society in our day now? Do people from other cultures have problems with this Bible? Have they ever criticized it? I must say, I have never heard a person from another country criticizing this Bible. You may have. I'm just speaking my own experience of talking to many people from different nations, and I have never heard one. But I've heard plenty of it, of criticisms being told by people who are well-educated, white English men and women. but not from people of other cultures. They have great respect and reverence for this book, because that's from which they heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But also I want to speak to you a little bit about another case, the case of stability and accuracy. Case of stability and accuracy. To relate to the other cultures, we must use an accurate, and may I underline, and stable, a stable English Bible. A relevant Bible in a multicultural society must have sound and stable theology. Those who translated the Authorized Version believed in the plenary and verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. Hence, they have given us a theologically sound Bible. No doctrine which God has revealed is compromised in any way in the Authorized Version. And I ask you this, how can a theologically weak Bible that we have, many of them in modern versions, be relevant to the people of any age? Be it English, Scottish, Welsh, or from any other nation. When there are changes made in critical verses concerning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what my Muslim friends tell me? Your Bible, look at it. This Bible says this, God was manifest in the flesh, but in the other, this new Bible I have, it says He appeared in a body. Which one? What is God saying to us? Did Jesus appear in a body like you and me? Or was God manifest in the flesh? And they say, well, the scholars of today, they tell us that He appeared in a body is a better translation of it. Which Bible is relevant, my Christian friend, to a Muslim person? A Bible that says He appeared in a body? Or a Bible that says God was manifest in the flesh, to a person who already has a prejudice against the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? And sad to say, all versions, modern versions, including the New King James, in the footnotes, put a question mark on that very doctrine of the deity of Christ by saying this verse may not be found in the best manuscript, or this word may not be found. And this is a theologically a weak Bible. We don't want that. And also I say to you, people from other cultures don't want a weak, a theologically weak Bible. There are other doctrines, the eternal sonship of Christ, His blood atonement, His resurrection, His ascension, His predictions about His future coming, and we could go on. When doctrine is weakened, then that Bible is not a relevant Bible. Because as we have said at the beginning, the Bible is relevant by its essence. And when the essence of it, which are the teachings, when they are affected, when they are made vague, when they are questioned, then its relevance is affected. Then it is made a subject of public debate. And in a multicultural society, the Word of God ought not to be made a matter of public debate. We say, thus saith the Lord. That is what is relevant. The Authorized Version, I believe, is the most relevant English Bible in a multicultural society because of these things, because also it has a sound theology. Also, we could speak about the source of its text from which it has been translated. The text which has been preserved throughout the ages by the providence of the Almighty power of God. The text of the Hebrew and the Greek, I'm not talking about the text of the authorized version, but the Hebrew and the Greek, that the Lord Jesus said one jot or tittle shall not pass from the law. That word has been kept by the power of God and the wisdom of God. And this Bible has been translated from that family, the preserved family, not from a family of the text, which I saw a manuscript last week, a copy of the Alexandrian text, which was found in 1800s at the foot of Mount Sinai in a monastery. It was this manuscript that was ready to be thrown onto a pile of fire and to be burnt. And this Bible I checked very quickly, and seeing various passages, and for a person with a little bit of Greek, you will see very quickly that various people have been tampering with it. Various people have crossed out the verses, crossed out the words, added to it. And it makes us wonder, how can this Bible, how can this Greek text be the best text that the new scholars of our day are telling us this is the one that we should translate from? Well, this is the very text that says he appeared in a body. This is the very text that removes blood when it speaks about forgiveness through his blood. That word is removed. When it removes the doctrine of eternal punishment, in that copy I had in my hand, those passages are either crossed out or simply you see gaps. Well, what Bible is relevant for to be used in a multicultural society? It is a Bible that is not changing every 5 minutes. In my library, I have a copy of the Greek text published by the United Bible Society. It is the 48th edition of it. Do you know why it is the 48th edition of it? Why not? It is not the 48th reprint of it. It is because the text is different from the 47th edition. It means that there are certain words that have been inserted in because they have found some new documents, or they are now doubting certain texts. And so they say we should, for future translations, we should no longer include these words, or we should add such and such a word or verse. And so what happens? We have Bibles being translated into other languages as well as into English that are not stable. They keep changing. Can you trust one? Is that kind of a Bible relevant to you? Let alone to people from other cultures? No, we don't want that. And I say to you, people of other cultures do not want an unstable Bible. They are no different to you or I. They are as intellectual, as educated as you or I. And they want a Bible that stays the same today and tomorrow, that it will be the same for their children and their grandchildren and the future ages to come. A relevant Bible also, I put to you, must have this stability in doctrine, in translation, but also in the method of its translation. You don't want a Bible that is simply the mind of the translator, what the translator thinks of the Word of God. A translator's job is to translate. It is to translate a verb into a verb, not into a noun. To translate a noun into a noun, not into a verb or some other thing, into an adjective. And this is what we find in the main in this Bible. It is what we call a formal translation. It means that it is not necessarily a word for word translation, but it is very close to the original Greek or the Hebrew. And that is something that I am facing, for example, as an Iranian, trying to teach my other countrymen. And they have various versions. And nearly, I don't know about you, in Bible studies, if you have been in certain Bible studies, One person has one version. It tells them about something, some paraphrased version. Some other version says something else. And nearly war takes place. And in some cultures, wars take place sooner than others. And some are more volatile than others. And this has been my experience, not being able to communicate the Word of God because of this multiplicity of these versions, which are not an accurate translation. So what happens? Everybody in those meetings, we all go back to the old classic versions that we know are a formal translation, that are accurate translations, not some kind of paraphrase, not some kind of a dynamic equivalence Bible. Dynamic equivalence Bible is something like the NIV, the New International Version, that the translators are translating the thoughts, what they think the text is saying, and they put it into modern English. The people of other cultures, I put to you, would want a stable Bible that is both accurate in the text, also in the doctrine, and also will not be changing tomorrow. There are many young men and women who are living amongst us, most of them well-educated, from other cultures coming into this nation to study or to settle or whatever. They are seeking asylum, many people, but they are well-educated. Many of them coming from other faiths, other beliefs. Many come with their prejudices about Christianity, about this book. The best way to be relevant to them is to use the tried and tested Bible. It has passed the test for 400 years. Show me a Bible that has passed that test, and I can show you a Bible that is relevant in a multicultural society. It means it surpasses time. It means it can be used. It has been used in various situations, and still it is applicable for today. I said to you, people from other faiths such as Islam, Zoroastrianism, and also the cults such as Jehovah's Witnesses would need a Bible that is textually sound and faithful in translation, which does not undermine doctrine. I speak again from personal experience. There's a great grief to me. And I've had to spend many, many hours, and I believe I will have to spend many hours to come yet, trying to teach people in my own country right now, in my own country, who are being affected by the modern versions that are coming in into my own language. But what are they using? They're using the text that is from modern English versions. And these cults are rapidly growing. Cults especially that deny the deity of Christ, deny the personality of the Holy Spirit, deny the fatherhood of God, and so on. And I have to spend so much time, and I say to them, look, you say our Farsi or Persian Bible is affected, and in many ways it is. You go and look it up in the authorized version. And it is freely available online. They go and say, yes, it says God was manifest in flesh. Or it says that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They say, yes, these verses are there in the English version, and they are beginning to learn English, and they can see it for themselves. And then they, do you know what one man did? He had so many of these paraphrased Bibles, and he says, how can I use these anymore? And coming out of these cult groups, and so he says, I must simply order these other Bibles that are faithful. And I must put these other ones to one side. And do you know, men such as that, who come to understanding about these things, when they come to our societies, what kind of a Bible do they want? Do they want a paraphrased Bible? Do they want a Bible that verse 22 suddenly changes to verse 24? Verse 23 is missing. They know how to count. And I have had Bibles that suddenly, verse 22, you're expecting to follow on to verse 23. Verse 23 is not there. They say, what are they? Are they fooling me? I know how to count. Verse 23 and then 24. These people coming here would want, or those who are already here would want that kind of a Bible that is a stable in text, in doctrine. But also we want for a multicultural society, the most relevant Bible, the most appropriate Bible must be appropriate for public and private use and in the churches. More than any other Bible, any other version in English, the Authorized Version, I put to you, sounds like the Word of God. It sounds like the Word of God, even to unbelievers. You know how I have an edition of the as Muslims say, most authentic translation of the Quran. Do you know what? And it's a modern translation. But do you know what they have tried to do? They have tried to make it sound like the Bible, the Authorized Version. It uses these thee and thou, and it uses words like speakest thou unto me, this kind of word. And it makes me wonder, these Muslims are trying to make something that is not the Word of God sound like our Bibles. And because they know this Bible, it comes with authority. When we speak, thus saith the Lord, it comes with authority to the hearers. The Authorized Version translators, they aimed at this very thing. Even in 1611, the Authorized Version sounded old-fashioned. People complained, wrote about it. This Bible sounds old-fashioned in 1611. We have moved on. We are modern now. But to them, if you read for yourself, works by John Bunyan, works by Benjamin Keach. I'm reading one book by Benjamin Keach now. He hardly uses the phrase thee and thou. Why? Because it was going out of fashion. It wasn't a popular thing to be used in books. Nobody would buy your book if you started sounding like that in those days. But they said, no, this must be a sound translation of the Word of God. It sounds ancient. It is like a voice from the past. And this was to command a reverent hearing and to suggest the timeless and eternal character of God's Word. The modern unbeliever, if he has any spiritual concern at all, is well aware that the contemporary scene really offers him no hope. He expects the church to speak in a way that is timeless and from another world. And it's the same from people of other cultures. They speak, the Christians, to speak in a way that is timeless, that doesn't belong simply to this modern age, but it belongs to a time when that has been, and the time that spoke with power and authority to the hearts of men and women. Many churchgoers and occasional visitors from other cultures, when they come to a church, then they go to a church and go much more by feel and mood than by intellectual content or apprehension. They are more likely to take seriously what is said to them if they sense that this is something more important than a casual conversation. It's not simply a light reading of the daily newspapers, but it is the voice of God here. The Word of God is being read here. And the Authorized Version excels as a version to be used in public worship amongst other nations. That is why it has been so much used, so widely used in the churches. The requirements of the sanctuary are not of those of the class or university. It is the Bible that edifies the worshippers, the reading of the Word of God. Also, may I say to you that it is a good thing for people of other cultures when they are maybe not used to the Bible, to the Word of God. For them, it has been set out, generally speaking, in most publications of the Authorized Version, it is set out verse after verse, verse after verse. It is not placed in paragraphs in general. And it is so much more helpful. When you announce a text, they can quickly locate it rather than having to search for it. There's some practical usage as well for the public worship. And this is the best format, of course, for preaching. And sometimes preachers get into a muddle as well, and they have to find their text. And imagine, I can't imagine it, trying to find a verse that I've forgotten where it is, and trying to look down a paragraph, locating a text. You can't do that in the preaching of the Word of God. Well, it is very difficult to do it, I feel. Also, may I say to you, in a multicultural society, we want to show that the church is speaking with one voice. And this Bible, in general, has been the Bible of the evangelical Reformed churches. It has been the Bible of the evangelical Christians. Even those who are not using it, preachers who are not using it and have left off, they often quote from it. It comes quickly to their mind. When they are quoting it even in their books, some of the modern writers and theologians, often they are using this, going back to this old book and quoting the verses. And using the Authorized Version, my friends, as it has been the standard text of the English-speaking world, it has underscored the church's unity. From all kinds of ecclesiastical backgrounds, the use of the same Bible demonstrates the church's unity from its source of authority. And that is seen by people of other cultures. They go to this church in Leicester, then they come to a church in London, then they go to a church in Cheltenham, and it's the same Bible being used. But a church is congregational. Then it's a Baptist. Then it's a Presbyterian. They're all using the same Bible. They're all united in the same truth of the Gospel and the Word of God. And that is what is relevant, my friends. Not a Bible that sounds different. Each church a person goes to, it is different to their ears. It underscores our unity and identity also with one another and with other conservative evangelical churches and Christians, and within a multicultural society, that is most relevant thing. The Authorized Version is a relevant Bible because also of its suitable English. May I say to you this? When I started using this Bible about 10 years ago, I found it difficult. I used to use a different version. I was quite stubborn, and in some ways still stubborn. I found it difficult in various ways, but you know, I got used to it. And you know what I used to have? When I met Dr. Allen 10 years ago, I used to have my Bible at my bedside and a dictionary. And do you know what I did? Every time I came across a word I didn't understand, I picked up my dictionary and I used my dictionary. And do you know, as you read various articles and papers written on the subject of the vocabulary of the Authorized Version, and now it is with this year, various organizations are publishing scientific articles on the usage of the language of the Authorized Version as opposed to other versions. And it is becoming quite clear that the vocabulary of the Authorized Version is quite limited. roughly around, as far as I've understood, about 6,000 words. But another modern version, generally it is larger vocabulary. A Bible like the English Standard Version, it is roughly around 13,000 words. Now, I say to you, which one is easier? To learn 6,000 new words or 13,000 new words? Simple, isn't it? When I came across one word, I looked it up in the dictionary. I came across it again and again and again. And I started learning. My English so much was changing by reading the Authorized Version. I must say, it had a sort of I don't want to use the term negative effect, but I remember writing papers for my boss, and he was talking to me and was telling me, what kind of a language are you using? And what are you reading? And I had the privilege of telling him, I'm reading the Bible. And that is what is changing me. What a wonderful thing it is to be known that our language is similar to the language of the Bible. And I was able to share with him about the gospel and about the word of God. But anyway, that's a side issue. But in terms of the vocabulary, it is an Anglo-Saxon, generally speaking, uses Anglo-Saxon words or roots that have Anglo-Saxon words in them. And that means, generally, there are short words, simple words. And those words continue to provide the basic vocabulary of the English language today. And for a man or woman who is learning English, I put to you, in the long term, it is an easier thing to learn the English from the Authorized Version. And also, it sticks with you. You remember it. You start to quote it in your prayers and in the preaching and in the talking with people and so on. It is set in timeless English, suitable for all ages. But some of the new English language versions, it is because of the way they are so easy to read, it is difficult to memorize. I'm not saying that you cannot memorize them, but I'm saying it is not as easy. It doesn't stick with you. But something that is a slightly different, it is much easier for our minds. I say to you then, our time is gone. But for all these reasons and much more, the Authorized Version is relevant in a multicultural society. Because of its sound and stable text, in its theology, in the method of translation, in the source of the text, also because of its history among nations of the world, the fact that it is being demanded by people throughout the world still. It is a relevant Bible in a multicultural society. And this is what people want. This is what is going to be relevant. This is how you are going to connect more than other versions with people. What other people of other societies want is not simply an easy Bible, easy to read Bible. That's not what I want. That's not what my fellow Iranians want when they come to this country. They want a Bible that they can trust. They want a Bible that sounds like a Bible. They want a Bible that is not going to change tomorrow. I am sad to say one friend of mine in the north of England, his pastor moved from the Authorized Version to something else, and he's having such a difficulty. Because he is coming up, he has bought himself one of these modern versions, and is coming up with all these textual apparatus at the bottom of the pages, and he says, this verse is not found in this, and this verse, we are not sure about it. And he's finding it very difficult. He has gone to his pastor asking, can we go back to the old Bible? It had none of these things in it. It didn't make me feel insecure in the Word of God. Well, when we use the Authorized Version, we are not insecure in the Word of God. people of other cultures want a Bible that is like a good physician. I say to you, do you ever go to a doctor when you have some kind of an illness? Do you ever go to a doctor that you know, you have heard, he's not that good after all? You have gone to him before, and it has been my experience. I won't tell you which city it was, but to go to the same doctor again and again. And what did she do? Every single time she hesitated. She wasn't sure. She said, well, your problem, it could be this, or it could be that, or it could be this. But also there is a new paper out in the British Medical Journal that says actually none of these things are true. There's a new theory about it. There's a new medicine out there that you could have. Do you think I went back to that doctor? No. Sadly, she's still our GP, but we asked for someone else to go and see someone else. Or, do you ever go to a hospital that you know has people working there who are not real doctors or nurses? I know one hospital that when it is tight, it may happen in this country as well, things are very tight and there are not enough nurses and surgeons, they would even ask telephone operators to go and help the surgeon in the operating theater. That was my aunt. She was a telephone operator, and from time to time she would be asked to go into the operating theater to hand the knives and all the tools that the surgeons use. But do you know what? A lot of people thought she was a doctor. So in her house, in her village, she still has it to this day, cupboard full of medication. If you have some problem, you go to her. Would you go to her? Well, I say to you, in the same sort of vein, we must go to the one Bible that has been tried and tested without hesitation. It has been received. The Lord has blessed it. And not go to the ones that are not sure. The next version that is out, is it going to be the same as the ones that are published today or not? Is the text, the underlying text, is it going to be different? Is some doctrine going to be weakened in some future Bible or not? Well, you would never go to my aunt to get an injection. Don't go to some other Bible. Go to this. This is like a physician to our souls. And I would put to you then at the end that this is also the most relevant Bible that we have in English for a multicultural society. People of other cultures in general do not criticize it. I've never heard one criticizing it. They revere it. Let us not be the ones who criticize it. Let us use it. Let us use all the positive things about it to reach the lost and preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let us sing together. The final hymn, hymn number 333. Glorious things are of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. O eternal God, we bless Thee and thank Thee for this book. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast kept it for us. We thank Thee most of all for the eternal Word of God, which lives and abides forever. We thank Thee that of this translation that has been used throughout the world. We thank Thee that the Gospel has been preached from it, that it has been the power of God unto the salvation of many from heathendom. Lord, we thank Thee for those many missionaries, thousands of them, who have gone throughout the world with that word of life, holding it forth. And we thank Thee that many who spoke English have turned unto God and turned to Jesus Christ. O Lord our God, we pray for the various cultures that are around us, many of them. Many are flooding this land and other English-speaking countries in the West. And, O God, we pray that Thy church might speak with one voice about the Word of God. May this Bible continue to prosper for many years to come. And may sinners from different backgrounds and different people groups, may they turn unto Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Lord, bless us and help us, we pray, to cherish this book, not to let it go, not to let it be forgotten, but take it to our hearts, and may this word burn within us. May the Spirit of God use it mightily in our own souls and lives, that we truly would be epistles read of all men, that Jesus Christ might be seen in us. Help us and bless us then in these things. And as we celebrate this occasion of the 400th anniversary, we pray that we may not forget these things. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.